Hello, everyone. It's a joy to meet with you today, and for the next six times that we're together, we're going to study together, How May I? You say, well, that's a rather strange title. Well, those of you who have my little booklet will notice that the booklet is built on the, well, an attempt to answer a number of questions, all of which begin with these three words, How May I? For example, how may I study my Bible effectively? May I pray? How may I know God's will? How may I live victoriously? How may I be a good witness? And how may I recognize a scriptural church? Now, these talks, of course, are all Bible-based, and it is absolutely necessary that you and I have a good, workable copy of the Bible, God's Word, with us at all times, because, you know, we're going to be referring to our Bibles constantly. Perhaps I should first of all begin today by introducing our subject. How may I study my Bible profitably? And there's only one text, I think, or one passage in the New Testament that fits into the context of that question, and that is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm reading from verse 15. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, quote, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, Dr. Howard Pope used to tell an interesting story about a young lady who read a book, and when she completed it, she remarked that it was the dullest, driest book that she'd ever read in her life. But not long after this experience, she met a young man, and in the course of their friendship, it was a ripening of that friendship, and it became courtship, and the love deepened, and so on. Well, during a visit in the home of his fiancée one evening, the young man said, the young lady said to him, you know, she said, I have a book in my library written by a man whose name and even initials are precisely the same as yours. Isn't that a singular thing? I don't think so, he said. Well, why not? Well, he said with a little twinkle in his eye, I happen to have written that book. I wrote it. Dr. Pope concludes the story by remarking that the young lady sat up until the early morning hours to read the book again, and when it was completed, it seemed to her to be the most interesting book she'd ever read. It wasn't dull at all. In fact, she found it quite fascinating. Do you know why? Of course you know why. It was because she had come to know and love the author. Now, if you and I are going to love and understand our New Testaments, in fact, our Bible, we must know the author. And that's what Paul meant when he said to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, you've recently come to know the Lord Jesus and to love him, and therefore, the Bible has become a new and fascinating book to you. In the 16th chapter of Romans in verse 15, Paul, writing to his friend, says this, salute Philologus. Now, this doesn't mean a thing. We haven't the slightest idea who this man Philologus was, excepting that he was a Christian in the church at Rome, unless we understand the meaning of his name. You know that Philologus really does have an interesting meaning. The name means lover of the word. Isn't that something? Lover of the word. And so I take it that this man Philologus, a Christian in the congregation at Rome, was a lover of the Word of God. I'd like to have a name like that, wouldn't you? Now then, it's one thing to love the Word of God and want to get into it. It's another to know just how to go about it. And so, in The first chapter of the little booklet that accompanies this series, we have suggested four simple words. Four simple words, or rules, shall I say, that are basic. First of all, admit. Second, commit. Third, submit. And finally, transmit. Now get a firm grip of those words, and I think you'll find them very helpful as I have. First of all, I must admit the Word of God to my mind. We've tried to point out here that there are two ways, actually, of acquiring a knowledge of the Bible. The first is an intellectual approach. This approach treats God's Word as a sort of a religious textbook. And sometimes young men, particularly, will study the Bible in a cold, academic way, much as they would study perhaps a book of history. And thus it becomes irrelevant to the life. And we get things codified and classified and the great doctrines all settled in our minds, and yet they don't have any real grip on our heart and our affections and our wills. You know, this is exactly, of course, what happened to the Pharisees. They memorized the scriptures in their minds, and they could roll them off their tongues very readily, as they did all through the Gospels. But my, they were the very antithesis of what the Bible taught. We must do much more than getting it into our mind. We must accept the truth not only mentally, but also morally. And the Bible is given not for our criticism merely, but for our obedience of heart. And if we're going to have profitable Bible study, I think we do well to take heed to the rules pointed out by the late Dr. Arthur T. Pearson. He used to say that in connection with eating, there was a threefold exercise, bodily exercise. First of all, appropriation, then mastication, and finally assimilation. Now, we appropriate food with the teeth. We take it in our teeth into our mouths. We appropriate it. But then we masticate it. We don't just bolt it down like dogs. We chew our food and masticate it. And the food is mixed with the saliva and so on. And then it's swallowed and it's finally assimilated and it becomes part of us. It's carried by the bloodstream to the cells and the tissues and every vital part of the body. Now, so it is with the Word of God. When we read the Bible, just read it, I mean, we're appropriating it. When we meditate upon it and turn it over in our minds, then we're masticating it. We're chewing it, as it were. And then as it slips into our minds and then down into our hearts, it should go down even farther into our legs and affect our very walk and our conduct. So we must first of all admit it to the mind. We must read it. And then secondly, commit it to the memory. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 to 20, God said to Israel of old, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart, and ye shall teach them your children, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy houses." And David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." It's very, very important that we memorize the great basic key verses of the Bible. You'll find these key verses sprinkled throughout the scriptures, and I would strongly suggest that you take a Bible memory course and capture in your mind, your memory, the great basic gospel texts like John 3:16, John 3:7, John 3:18, John 5:24, John 10 and 9, John 14 and 6, Acts 4 and 12, Acts 13, 38, Romans 10 and 9, and we might go on and on. So we must not only admit it by reading it, but commit it to the memory. And you know, when we're traveling, when we're sitting in a plane or a train or a bus, or when we're driving along alone in our car,
that's a good time to go over these texts and make our memories work. But then there's a third rule that we must bear in mind, and that is to submit to the truth in our lives. I said here in the little booklet, this is crucial. If I would really know the truth and the will of God, I must stand ready to obey it. The Lord said in the 7th of John in verse 17, if any man is willing to do his will, he shall know. He shall know. And I say, my friends, the best way to progress in the spiritual life, in fact, I would say the only way, is not only to admit and not only commit, but to submit to not only the written word, but the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, in the 17th Psalm, I think it is, if I remember rightly, the psalmist said this, by the words of thy lips have I kept me from the paths of the destroyer. And then that brings me to the last word, transmit the word to the world. You see, knowledge always brings responsibility, and Bible study is never an end in itself, but rather a means to an end, and it has in view our communicating it to others. We've tried to point out here that while the ministry of revelation is finished and redemption is finished, the ministry of reconciliation is not finished, and the Lord has committed this ministry of reconciliation, this wonderful communication of the Christian gospel, God's way of salvation. He has entrusted this not to angels, but to men. If angels could tell sinners how to be saved, heaven would be empty in 5 minutes. The angels would all be down here, and they'd be flaming evangelists. But God says, no, angels, you must remain here. I'm giving this ministry to men whom I've redeemed by the blood of my Son. It's theirs to go out and to tell others concerning Christ. So I must transmit it. There's a law in the kingdom that in order to keep, we must give away. We must sow the seed. We must throw it out to the field. And we must give it out. And as we give it away, we keep it. And it comes back with a bountiful and a compound harvest. Remember these four key words then. Admit, commit, submit, and finally, transmit. And as you go over the scriptures that are indicated in the lesson that we've been considering together, I'm sure that God the Holy Spirit will impress the importance of these things on your heart and make you a faithful